Thank you. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God for this opportunity that the Lord has given me. We bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm still trying to wind up from the worship. Yes, praise the Lord. Why don't you just rise up in the presence of the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be glorified. Come on, just lift up your voices in the presence of God. Just magnify his name. Tell him that he's mighty. Tell him what you want him to do this day in the name of Jesus Christ. He's the almighty God that is able to do it abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. He is sovereign in all his ways. He's mighty, he's righteous, and there is no other God like unto him. We bless you, O God. We adore you. We reverence your name, Abba Father. We reverence you. We reverence you. We reverence you, O God. We declare that you are holy. We declare that you are mighty. We declare that you are awesome. We declare that you are faithful. You are our trust, our shield, our reliance, O God, our strong tower of glory. And this day our eyes are upon you, O God. Father, we bless you and we worship you, O God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, O God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Almighty and everlasting Father, once again we come before your throne of grace, O God. Father, we just humble ourselves before you. I humble myself before you, O God, declaring, Father, that unless you build the house, the builder buildeth it in vain. Unless you watch over the city, the watchmen watch in vain. In the name of Jesus Christ, come and speak to us, Holy Spirit of the living God. Saturate us with yourself, Lord of glory. Show us the way that we should go, Abba Father. Guide us in your truth, O God. Fill us with wisdom and understanding, King of glory. Father, saturate us with yourself, Lord. We cover our minds in the blood of Jesus Christ. Open my mouth, Holy Spirit of the living God. Fill me in the name of Jesus. We bless you and we honor you. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's take a seat in the presence of the Lord. I want to honor my husband, the man of God in this house, Pastor Tony. I thank God because of him. I don't take it for granted, even for giving me this opportunity. It is, it is a blessing. Praise the name of the Lord. And I just want us to go to the book of Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. The Bible says, and there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine in Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistine in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. I'm reading from Genesis 26 from verse 1. Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will bless you. And I will bless you and will bless you. The Bible says, for to you and your descendants, I will give you all these lands and will confirm the oath that I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all the nations on earth will be blessed because Abraham obeyed me and did everything that I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions. The Bible says that so Isaac stayed in Gerar. Praise the name of the Lord. This is the story of Isaac, and we all know, we may have read this story at one time or another. The Bible says that there was a famine in the land, and during this time, in Genesis chapter 6, there was also, if it is actually, it lines up with a very similar case or situation that happened in Genesis chapter 12, you know, verse 10. If you read Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, and I won't go back to it, it also speaks about Abraham going through a famine. And the Bible says that when the famine hit that particular place, it was so severe that, besides, the Bible says that so that Isaac decided to go to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. So when he did that, immediately the Lord spoke to him and appeared to him and told him, Isaac, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. So that means that he was actually passing through Gerar on his way to Egypt. Why would Isaac think of going to Egypt? Isaac thought of going to Egypt because when the famine hit during the time of Genesis chapter 12, the time of Abraham, his father went down to Egypt. That's where he went. He went to escape the famine in Egypt. And because God knew that Isaac would do the same thing that his father had done, he stopped him just, at that particular time. And he told him,
I don't want you to go. Isaac, I want you to listen to this instruction. And you know, at that particular time, if we can, you know, if you read about Gerar, at that particular time when there was a famine, literally even Gerar was going through a famine. There was still a famine in that place. It was still a dry situation. But the Bible says, and the Lord told him, stay where you are, because this is where I'm going to bless you. And the Lord was talking, speaking to me and saying, there's so many things that the Lord, there's so many times that we go through different situations and different circumstances in our lives. And sometimes because of the things that we're going through, you know, we want to shift, we want to do what somebody else has done. In fact, we are asking opinions about somebody else. You know, what do I need to do? Where do I need to go? And sometimes you don't seek the opinion of God. And many times, instead of seeking the opinion of God, we do what we want to do. We do what our mind tells us to do, or what other people tell us to do. And you know, when God speaks to you to do something, God will tell you something that is contrary to the situation, you know, that is happening in your life. Because how could God tell Isaac to stay in a place where there was famine? How could God tell Isaac to stay in a place where there was dry? How could God tell Isaac to stay in the same place, you know, in the place where there was dryness? Because he knew that he had made a promise to his father Abraham. And I know we've been reading, you know, we've been studying with a Bible study about covenant. And you know, when we go through the Bible, because when we read the words that God spoke to Isaac, God reminded Isaac of the covenant that he had made with his father Abraham. And he promised him that he was going to be with him. And for the sake of his father Abraham, he was going to bless him. And the Bible says that when he told him, do not go down to Egypt, he told him, but live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and bless you. Then he reminded him the covenant that says, for to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and confirm the oath that I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and give them all these lands. So he reminded him of the promise, and Isaac knew the promises of God, because he had walked with Abraham. Abraham was his father. He had had him time and time again repeat the promises, repeat the covenant that God had promised him. And not though they had not seen the manifestation of it, except he himself, who was the manifestation, because he was the son of promise. You know, God was still keeping his promise towards his people. And the Bible says, and I love what Isaac did, that though the situation did not talk, what, you know, it did not speak of where he was going, yet he stayed in the land of Gerar. And the Bible says, so Isaac stayed in and we're going to read, and we're going to go forth. We're going to jump for 7 to 11 and go to 17. The Bible says in 17, so Isaac moved away from there. From 12. Let's read 12. It says that Isaac planted crops in that land. That is the same, Genesis chapter 26, verse 12. That Isaac planted crops in that land, and in the same year reaped 100-fold, because the Lord blessed him. Because the Lord blessed him. God blessed him in a situation of famine. God blessed him in a status, you know, in a place where nobody would have thought that any blessing would fall upon him. And the Bible says that the man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells that his father Isaac had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped filling them with the earth, because they were envious about him. And the Bible says that because Isaac obeyed what God had told him to do, and he stayed in the land, the Bible says that God blessed him. He made sure that his plants, that you know, that when he planted, that on that same year, that Isaac reaped 100-fold, because the Lord blessed him. It is good to obey God. It is good to walk with God. It is good to hear God. The Bible says that I will teach you the way in which you should go. I will guide you and I will lead you. Only do not be like a horse or a mule that has no understanding. That is what the Bible says in the book in Psalms chapter 37. That I will teach you the way in which you should go. And many times when the Lord teaches you the way that you should go, it doesn't look like he's taking you anywhere. It doesn't look like he's taking you to the place that you want to go. But you stay there. Because when you stay in the place that God has told you to stay, then you will see the manifestations of the blessing of God. It may take long, but God is going to come through for you. If you remain faithful and stay where the Lord has called you to stay, no matter what it looks like, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstances are screaming, you know, the Lord is going to bless you. He's going to open up doors for you. He's going to make his name known, because every time that the Lord does something, he does it to glorify his name. God does everything to glorify his own name, because the Lord did what he did to Isaac. You know, when they looked, when these people of the Philistines looked, you know, at the end, if you know, at the end, as we continue reading, you will see the Philistines recognize that it was God who was blessing him. When you stay in God, when you remain in the place where God has told you to remain, no matter the situation, God will do things for you. God will open up doors for you, and his name alone will be glorified. Those that look to you will also look at you and will declare that there is, you know, God has done this thing for you. Praise the name of the Lord. And I just want us to continue reading. The Bible says, and we know that when the Lord blessed Isaac, there was envy that came up, you know, with the people, with the Philistines. And the Bible says, as we had read before, so all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines topped up and filled them with the earth. Praise the name of the Lord. And I was reading this, and I was asking myself, God, why would the Philistines, you know, why would the Philistines think of filling up the wealth of his father? And by the way, let me give you a little history. In Gerar, Gerar was not a new place to Isaac. Isaac was born in Gerar. If you can read on in the stories, if you look back in Genesis 22, Isaac was born in Gerar, because his father was also in Gerar. When his father Abraham, and I would like you to read, you know, when you're at your own time, when his father got to Gerar, the Bible says that he stayed there, and he stayed there for a very, very long time. That means there are so many things that he did there. That, you know, that, you know, when you know, when Abraham stayed in Gerar, you know, he called upon the Lord in Gerar. He made, you know, when during that time when God appeared to his people, the Lord built up altars in the presence of God. They not only built up altars, but they dug wells, and this well signified what the Lord had done for his people. And so they, you know, they built, there are so many things that he did in Gerar. So when God told Isaac to stay in Gerar, he knew that he was being placed in a place where, you know, his father had walked, and there were many footprints. Everywhere that he walked, he saw the footprints of his father. Everywhere that he walked, he saw the promises of God. He saw what God had done, to Abraham, he saw the showings, what God had made known to Abraham. He was reminded of the covenant. He was reminded of the faithfulness of God through his father, you know, through his father Abraham. And as long as he stayed there. And the Bible says, and I was coming to something, it says, so I was reading about the wells. So the Bible says that the Philistines, the first thing that they did was to block this wells. And why this wells? Because we know again that when Abraham was in Gerar, there are wells that he built. And in this place in Gerar, God had also blessed Abraham when he was in Gerar. But why would they do such a foolish thing as to fill up these wells, you know, to fill them up while Abraham, you know, even after he died, they'd have used these wells. Why would they do that? You know, and I was asking God this thing. But the Bible says, you know, the Lord was telling me this act that they did was not only a physical act, but it was a spiritual act. Praise the name of the Lord. Why a spiritual act? Because their intention was to block the purposes of God. But how many of you know when God declares a blessing in your life, nobody can thwart it. Praise the name of the Lord. Nobody can block it. I love what the Bible says, and we read it again with a group. If we can go real quick to the book of Numbers. Praise the name of the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Numbers, hallelujah, we bless the name of the Lord. There is a place that declares that what I have blessed I will not curse. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Praise the name of the Lord. And there's a scripture that says that I have commanded to bless. And if I've commanded to bless, who can curse? Because when the Lord commands a blessing, none can curse. So when the Israelites, the people, the Philistines, were actually, when they were putting mud, when they were putting earth into these holes, they were actually trying to block the blessing of God. They were actually thinking in their minds that they can hinder the work of God, that they can hinder what God, because they had seen the blessing of God in Abraham. They had seen the blessing of God even, you know, and when they started seeing the blessing of God in his son, they realized that there was a trend and there was something that the Lord was doing. But the Bible says, you know, when, and there is something that happened in here, if we can just continue. the Bible says, you know, when they did what they had to do, Isaac, if we can go to verse 19, it says that, 17, sorry. So Isaac moved away from there. So, let's go back. It says, so all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up and they filled them with the earth. And the Bible says in 16, then Abimelech said to Isaac, move away from us. You have become too powerful for us. Because he realized that there was something different about Isaac. He realized that, hey, we are not getting blessed. Our farms are not prospering in any way. There is dryness in our land. Yet the Lord has blessed this man. There must be something special about him. And so they drove him away and they filled up the walls. Then the Bible says in 17, so Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar, where he settled. And in 18 it says, Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham. The first thing that Isaac did when he moved out of that place, he went to the wells that had been blocked by the Philistines, and he went out and he unearthed, he removed all the earth, he redug these wells. Why did he redig these wells? Because these wells, they signified, you know, the heritage of the Israelites. They signified the promises of God. They signified what God had promised. They signified what God had done. And if we can read on, it says, when he redug, it says, praise the name of the Lord, it says that Isaac's servants dug the valley. Where is it? He reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham had died. And he gave them the same names that his father had given them. He did not change the names. He did not change the names, because every well signified what God had done for Abraham. Every well represented where every step that Abraham had gone through with God. And every well represented the manifestation of God. Why did he redig this wells? Because he knew that if he left these wells as they were, then you know that you'd hinder the blessing of God. He had to dig them out because that is where his destiny was. He had to dig them out because that is where the promises of God were. He dug them out because that is every time, you know, when water flowed out of these wells, they spoke about the blessings of God. And the Lord was reminding me one thing. You know, when the Lord blesses us, because he's going to bless us, and he has already blessed us, the Lord is causing us to reopen the wells. He's calling us to redig the wells. What are the wells that you have caused that the enemy has put earth in them? You know, the wells represent so much, and there are so many things that can cause your well to be stopped. The things that can cause your well to be stopped, definitely one of them was the enemy, because we see that envy caused the Philistines to stop this wealth. Because of jealousy, people can stop your wealth, but also there are things that can stop your well, you know, the well in your life. And the Bible says that which is the well that we have right now, I'm trying to remember what the scripture says, but out of us shall flow rivers of living water. But what are the things that have blocked up your well? What are the things that have hindered your well? Are these the things? Have you entangled yourself with the things of this world? Have you have discouragements and oppression and the enemy, you know, stopped up your well? So stopped up your well so that you're not able to see the promises of God, so that you're not able to see the faithfulness of God. Praise the name of the Lord. But the Lord wants you to unstop those walls. Because when you unstop the wells, if you unstop the wells, then you will see the faithfulness of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So the Bible says that is the first thing that he did. He unstopped this wealth. He unstopped this wealth because they spoke of the blessings of God. They spoke of the faithfulness of God. Every time, you know, the wealth school could flow, they spoke of what the Lord has done. And every name that stood on this, you know, on this wealth, spoke about the goodness of God, spoke about what God had promised that he would do. And if he had promised that he was going to do it, then he was faithful to bring it unto completion. In the same way, God wants us to unstop all the wealth in our life. Praise the name of the Lord. And the Bible says that Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herders of Gerar quarreled with those of Isaac and said, the water is ours. So he named the well Esek. Every time you go to, you know, to you decide in your heart, because when you in this digging of the wealth, in this redigging of the wealth, it is going to be, the Lord was telling me that it's going to be an act of purposing. You have to purpose in your heart, because, you know, there's so many things that the Lord can tell us and want us to do, but we have to purpose in our hearts. We have to decide in our hearts. You know, Isaac would have decided that I'm not going to unstop this wall with this wealth. Well, I can always go ahead and dig another well. I can call this wealth another name. But he decided otherwise, because he knew he had watched the walk of Abraham with God. He had watched the walk of Abraham, even in his own life. And he knew that the God who had promised was faithful. So he did what he knew was right. He called them by their names. And the Lord is telling us, if we have to walk, you know, in the ways of God, if we have to see the manifestation of God, if we have to see God doing what he wants to do in our lives, then we have to be willing, we have to be obedient, we have to be, you know, to take an initiative. I'm trying to look for my notes as we speak. Praise the name of the Lord. We have to be, you know, we have to make an initiative in us, you know, an initiative that you're going to follow God, an initiative that you're going to redig those wells. You know, what has blocked up your wells? What has hindered your wells? You know, what is it, a discouragement? Is it, you know, is it the enemy? Is it the things, you know, the things that have passed, you know, that I've gone through? Because sometimes we go through so many things in our lives, you know, that we become so discouraged and we become so frustrated that we throw off, you know, we forget the promises of God. We forget where the Lord has brought us through. We forget the doings of God. But the Lord is telling us, remember that I'm the Lord that brought you from wherever you came from. I'm the Lord that has carried you this far. And I'm the Lord that is able to see that which I began in your life to completion. I'm the Lord that is faithful to carry you through in this nation. I'm the Lord that is faithful to carry your children. I'm the Lord that is faithful to make way where there is no way. I'm the Lord that is faithful to break every yoke, to break every stronghold, to break everything that hinders, to break every limitation in the mighty name of Jesus. He's the Lord that is mighty, and he's the Lord that is sovereign. Praise the name of the Lord. And the Bible says, as we continue seeing, that Isaac continued, you know, digging the wealth. And the Bible says, if we can go back to 19, it says that Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herders of Gerar quarreled, we were there, and those of Isaac and you know, with those of Isaac, and said, the water is ours. So he named the well Esek. Every time you determine that you're going to redig that well, every time you purpose that you've made up your mind you're going to walk with God, every time you purpose that you're making a turnaround to walk in the place that God has called you to be, every time you purpose that you're going to walk in, you know, faithfully before the Lord, there will be a battle. And the Bible says, and we see it right here, that the people, that the herders of Gerar, they quarreled with those of Isaac. There was opposition. Opposition will come when you determine that you're going to walk with God. Opposition will come when you determine that you're going to redeem those wells. Opposition will come when you determine that you're going, you know, you're going to do the right thing. But the Bible says, when opposition came, Isaac did not stay there. The Bible says that he moved on. And many times, you know, the Lord was reminding me, was telling me, many times we stay in the place of opposition. Many times we stay in the place where there's been, you know, of resistance, because this thing has resisted for too long. We are right there. We are holding on to it. We are not letting it go. And the moment that, you know, and the Bible says, the moment, you know, and the Lord says, let go. Because when you let go, then the Lord is going to have his way. And the Bible says that, you know, Isaac did not contend with these people. Isaac did not contend. Why did you think he did not, why do you think he didn't contend? He had the right to this wealth. He's the one who dug this wealth. Why did he not contend? Because he knew that the Lord that had promised was faithful. And the Bible says that he moved on. He moved on to the next place, and he started digging another well. And when he started digging another well, another opposition came up, because these people were trying to hinder the blessing of God in his life. And the Bible says that every time they would come up and they would quarrel, then he would continue moving on. And he moved on until he got to this well. And it says that they moved on. He moved on from there and dug another well. And no one quarreled over it. So he got to the place that he dug this well. This well that no one quarreled over it. And that is in verse 22. And it says that he named it Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room and we will flourish in this land. Praise the name of the Lord. The Lord is making room for us. The Lord is making room for us in this name. The Lord is making room for you in your life. If you do not give up, if you do not get discouraged, if you do not lose hope, if you let go, let go, let go. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but let go and let God. Let go and let God. Let go and let God. You know, in the Bible, there was a king, if I can deviate a little bit from that, Saul when Samuel, when Saul sinned against God, Saul, you know, Samuel cried before the Lord, and the Bible says that he grieved before the Lord for Saul, you know, so much, because he's the one who had anointed Saul. You know, he had raised, he's the one who God had called to anoint Saul. So he had seen Saul come up. So when all these things happened, he was so grieved in his heart. I'm pretty sure he had so much anger with God. God, how can you raise a man? And within a few days or a few weeks, you decide that you're going to let him go, maybe 1 year. You decide that you do not want this guy. You know, his heart was so heavy. And one night, God came to him and told him, you know, I want you to let go. I want you to let go because I've raised up somebody else. And in the same way, God is saying, I want you to let go of that which you're struggling with, because God has raised up something else for you, because God has made another way for you, because God is making every crooked path. So stop wailing and stop crying over something that you cannot change, over a situation that you cannot change. Let go, because the Bible says that whatever is impossible with God is impossible with man, is possible with God. He says that the Lord has given us room and we will flourish. The Lord has given us room and we will flourish in every area of our lives. If you do not give up, if you redig those wells, if you refuse to stay in the same place, redig those place, that well of revival. If you have been praying and you've fallen short, you know, seek the Lord like never before. If you've sought the Lord and all of a sudden you've strayed away from the Lord, come back and start with God. Make God the center of your life, just like Isaac did. He made God the center of his life. Thought the Lord had blessed him. He did not decide that, God, you know, now I can build my own wealth and I can call them another name. And God was, you know, the Spirit of God was telling me, many times we've also made our own wealth and we've called them another name of maybe trouble. We've called them names that are not names of God. But God wants us to be established in the Lord. God wants us to redig those wealth. Praise the name of the Lord. And to be established in him, in the mighty name of Jesus. Dig another well. Dig, you know, raise up those, you know, the ancient, the old foundations. The Bible says, if I can go to the book of praise the name of the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 6, this is what the Lord says: stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient path, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But the Bible says, but you say, I will not walk in it. The Bible says again that stand at the crossroads and look, because the wells were ancient paths, the paths that our forefathers have made for us, the paths that are the ministers have made for us, the paths that God has made for us. Ask for the ancient path and ask where to go and walk in it. Praise the name of the Lord. Then the Bible also says in the book of Hosea chapter 10 verse 12, that sow righteousness for yourself and reap the fruit of unfailing love and break up your unplowed ground. Why break up your unplowed ground? Because every time that Isaac went to dig up those wells, he was breaking ground. And I know I'm giving you a lot of information, but he was breaking ground. He broke ground. He had to start from scratch, because the Philistines had actually put earth, and we had seen they took earth and they literally put on this wealth, and then so Isaac had to go back to this wealth and break the fertile ground and break the ground and then dig deep so that water could flow out. And that is what God is calling us to do: break the fertile ground, dig deep until the wells of living water come through you. And that is where your blessing is, once you connect yourself with God. Because many times we try to get the blessing of God out of connection with God, and we cannot get our blessing out of connection with God. We have to reconnect ourselves with God. So God is telling us, dig deeper, and remove the earth and let that water flow so that the blessing of God can rest upon you. Praise the name of the Lord. And then just one more scripture and I will let you go. The Bible says that in Isaiah 58 verse 12, and your ancient ruins, it says from 11, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your dead in such scorched places. Let me just read from verse 12. It says, and your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall raise up foundations for many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the bridge and restorer of the streets to dwell in. And that is what Isaac did. He was a repairer of the bridge. He repaired those wells that had actually been stopped. That is what God is calling us to do. But the Lord wants to bless us. He wants to total obedience if he's going to bless us. He wants total obedience if he's going, if you're going to see what God wants to do in our lives. God does not only want to bless you materially. God wants to bless you spiritually. God wants to bless you supernaturally. The Bible says that what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no one has entered the mind of man, this is what the Lord has kept for us. You know, but he has revealed it to us through his Spirit. How can we know what the Spirit of God, you know, wants to do unless we connect ourselves with God, unless we dig deeper, unless we go back to that place where it was saying go back to the crossroads, unless we go back to the crossroads and redig those wells and see what God is calling us to do and see what God has for us, we shall see the faithfulness of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory be to God. Our God is faithful. Our God is righteous and is able to do immeasurably above all that we can ask or imagine. Why don't we stand up in the presence of the Lord? Praise the name of the Lord. Let's stand up in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In your own way. In your own way, I just want you to ask the Lord to help you in the name of Jesus. Let's redig those wells. That is the first thing that Isaac did. Despite his prosperity, despite what he had seen God do, he went back to the wells and he redug the wells of Abraham. Before he dug any other well, he redug the wells of Abraham. Let us go back to the place where the Lord has called us to, you know, where God has called us to. Let us redig those wells, those things that have gone stagnant. Let us redig them. You know, those places that we've gone wayward. Let us ask the Lord to come through for us. Have you believed? Has the enemy stopped your walls? Then let us take authority and break those things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The Lord again wants, let us also ask the Lord to give us total obedience in him so that we can see the manifestation of the promises of God. The Lord has promised and he will do it. The Bible says that the Lord watches over his word to perform it. He that called us into fellowship with his son, he is faithful. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's lift up our voices in the presence of the Lord. Father, we honor your mighty name, O God. We give you the glory, Abba Father. We honor your holy name, O God. There is no other God like unto you, Abba Father. Father, we lay down our lives unto you, O God. We lay down our ways unto you, Abba Father. We declare that we can do nothing without you, O God. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we ask you to help us, O God, to redig those walls in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The walls of revival, Abba Father. Let there be a turnaround in our lives, O God. Father, teach us to walk obediently before you, Abba Father, because your word declares, oh God, that when we are willing and obedient, then we shall eat the fruit of the land in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. For the help us, oh God of glory, teach us your ways, oh God, that we may walk in it, Abba Father. Guide us in your truth, oh God, and lead us in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, lead us back to the crossroads, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and break every fertile ground in our midst in the mighty name of Jesus. We also take authority this morning against every work of the enemy, where there's been opposition, where there's been oppression, where there's been hindrance, where there's been limitation, right now in the mighty name of Jesus, we break every yoke, we break every assignment of the enemy in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We break every stronghold, every limitation. We declare that no weapon fashioned against your people shall prosper in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You are declares, oh God, that we know that I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted in the name of Jesus. No purpose of yours as regards your people shall be thwarted in the mighty name of Jesus, because your plans, oh God, and your purposes, Abba Father, they stand firm forever. The plans of the Lord, the purposes of God, as regards our lives, as regards our children, as regards our jobs, as regards our families, they stand firm forever in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, have your way, oh God. Have your way in your people, Abba Father. We decree blessing. We decree overflow upon your people, oh God. Father, we bless you and we honor you. Have your way in our lives, oh God. We worship you and we glorify your mighty name. For it is in Jesus' name do we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.
Oh, what a powerful word. Amen. So, my take in that word, I felt like it was my word. Don't get stuck in one place. Amen. When the well doesn't work out, and when there's opposition and all kind of people trying to quarrel with you, move on. You know, if you're seated on your sitna, it is time to move. If there's an elek, if you're seated on your elek, just move on. But there's a Rehoboth. And that when you arrive at your Rehoboth, you know, there won't be any quarrel. There won't be any opposition. Amen? How I pray that we shall find our Rehoboth. I pray that today I'll find my Rehoboth in whatever area that we get to. In maybe in our businesses, in our careers, in our day-to-day activities. Let us pray to the Lord that you give us a Rehoboth. Praise the Lord. Amen. What a wonderful word. May the Lord replenish where that word has come. I know that is a rich resource, and I know that God is going to bless you indeed, Kate, even as you continue to seek the Lord. And what a beautiful word. Amen.